Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We're talking travel chaos that's been caused by the events in the Middle East. So what are your rights when it comes to cancelled flights and disrupted plans? Well, Owen Corry, the editor of Air and Travel magazine, is on the line. Just before I go to him, here's the numbers, because I know there's a lot of questions and confusion around it. 1-800-453-106 is the number to call us on, or WhatsApp 087-1400-106. Get them into us and we'll fire them at Owen as we chat. Owen, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Anna.
Thank you for joining us, Owen. We have some progress this afternoon with the first flight. Tell us about that.
A lot of drama in the last 24 hours. Good drama for a change.
Yes.
There was no prospect of a flight for Dublin. Then very, very suddenly it changed. Even the crew, we have seven crew who have been in Dublin since last Saturday. They got very little notice. Get ready, guys, we're flying. So they took off from Dublin, or they're taking off from Dublin around now. And the Dubai flight is also taking off in the other direction. So the Dublin flight will return. So not only have we a resumption of flights, but it does look like a pattern of one flight a day might be achieved. A lot can go wrong, everything changing by the hour. How was this achieved? I think there was a big rethink in the United Arab Emirates. They have created corridors for both Etihad, and remember Etihad are resuming flights to Dublin as well. They have created corridors which will allow 48 flights an hour. It isn't a lot in terms of the size of Dubai, but when you consider that most of those passengers are transfer passengers, that when they get the Dubai, the people who are stranded in Dubai home, they won't be looking at transfer passengers for a while. It could solve a lot of the problem in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. So there's 400 passengers on the flight from Dubai to Dublin today, Owen. How are they prioritised? Who's on that flight?
Emirates will have their priority list.
Mm-hmm.
They will decide who has been there the longest is the most basic of it. But obviously there is a lot of jostling. There's a lot of people who have to be home, a lot of medical stuff. There is a separate priority list being operated by the Department of Foreign Affairs, and they have chartered a flight. They did so when there was no prospect of a flight to Dublin. It's less significant now, and it's going to go to Oman, and there'll be a bus journey across the border to Oman to get that flight home. Now, that possibly could be transferred to Dubai with the corridor open. All of those things are fluid at the moment, but that's where we stand. The Emirates flight, though, Dublin is a very well-connected airline. So the Emirates flight was pretty, there was a few people who weren't coming to Dublin. That surprised some of the passengers on it that were going on to other places.
Mm.
But you got to remember, there are 1.5 million passengers not in the right place at the moment.
Yeah, of course. And I heard they were prioritising older passengers and pregnant women.
Anybody who needs to get back, medical, pregnancy, diabetes, all those sort of things.
Okay. People who are still there seems to be quite a lot of kind of fearful travellers in Dubai, in the UAE in general at the moment, who are unsure about when they can fly home. What advice would you have for families who are trying to get them back safely?
Sit tight. The airline will contact you. There's not a prospect of getting through to the airline at the moment. The phone lines are overwhelmed. The wait time is about 3 hours. The direct message service, which normally gets a bit faster than the phone line, is going to be 72 hours. You know, one of the most useless pieces of advice is being told, contact the airline, because there's no way you can. They will contact you. They will contact you in the hotel. Usually they have the email and the phone. If they don't, make sure they do have it, because things can happen very, very quickly. Some of what's been going on has been almost quiet. Don't tell anyone, because we don't want to be overwhelmed. The people who were contacted for the initial flights were almost secretly spirited out and to the airport, so as not to create a huge fuss. And then there were standby passengers as well brought to the airport who probably have to wait for another day. So it's still a bit of the last helicopter out of Saigon at the moment, but I do expect that to abate in the coming days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me get to a few of these questions while I have you there, Owen, if that's okay. Arthur, who's currently in Vietnam and then travelling on to Cambodia with his wife, has a question. Let's have a listen to this.
Hi, Owen. Myself and my wife are currently on holidays in Asia. We're not due back until the end of next week. We've received limited update from Qatar Airways as to whether or not our flight will depart. My wife is on specialist medication and we have brought sufficient with us for the duration of our expected trip. However, we will run out should our trip be extended. We've attempted to get an additional supply of medication in Ireland, but the HSE is currently blocked us getting the next month's supply, as they only allow you to get it shortly before the beginning of a month. It's an unusual situation we have now, and we would hope there would be some flexibility in relation to, you know, getting drugs. We believe we can get them out here by FedEx as a precaution, but at this moment in time we're having some difficulty. We've pushed back at the pharmacy, who are going back to the HSE. I'm sure it's not unique to ourselves, and we'd love to know what the position is.
Oh, and it's a great question, because lots of people will find themselves in that situation, and, you know, needing medication would bring about understandable anxiousness.
And there's lots of them, as you say. Two-pronged response to that. Make sure you have alerted Qatar to how important getting back is. The second one is register with the Department of Foreign Affairs. Let them know your problem. They have a consular assist for emergency situations. They don't step in every emergency, but they will. It will be an added string to your bow should you have difficulty returning. Qatar is in a little bit different situation from the other two airlines. Qatar is a member of an alliance, the One World Alliance. ANA Japan are in it, American are in it, British Airways are in it. Emirates and Etihad are not. The downside of it is that Doha is the airport that's not open. Doha hasn't reopened yet. So that's we're hoping that will happen tomorrow. They're looking at what's happening in the UAE, the business of defending the aircraft, all of that stuff. There isn't really a quick fix to it, but I do think that by the end of next week, things will be a lot clearer than they are from where we're looking now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great advice, Owen. Let me go through a few of these. Three of us are supposed to be flying to Thailand via Abu Dhabi on Monday, the 9th of March. We're hopeful we have found a flight going via Frankfurt and landing in and around the same time Tuesday morning. We are thinking of just waiting until Saturday, until we know a bit more, and don't want to leave it too late or could miss out. What do you think?
It's a gamble. You could end up getting your original flight, because it is a little bit of a distance away. But what we've seen happen since Saturday is that the airlines have been overwhelmed. They haven't been able to cope with the people stranded. They haven't even started to work their way through the transfer passengers. All of that, they only transfer passengers they could help really were the ones stranded in Dubai. They did a lot to get them out. But the second flight, if it's not a huge expense or everything like that, that's a safe place to put it at the moment, because it could well be that your only offer is of a refund, not of an alternative flight.
Mm-hmm. And you make a good point, Owen. There's the 3, 4, 5 hour wait times on the airline phone lines we've been hearing as well. Someone else is asking, we're flying to Singapore via Dubai and don't know what to do. We are due to go on Friday, but with 2 days to go, we feel it's likely too late to look at an alternative route. Wondering, should we even turn up to the airport this stage? We will lose non-refundable accommodation, which we've saved hard for. Is there anything we can do now?
It depends. Don't go to the airport, number one. The airline will contact you and say your flight is flying. It's not a question of going to the airport yet. Things could happen in the next few days when all the flights are running again. But at the moment, the flights that are taking off are taking prioritised passengers, and the airline contacts you. That applies whether you're in Dubai or whether you're here. The second thing is the non-refundable accommodation. Now, travel insurance, I don't know what their travel insurance are telling them, but The terms and conditions of most travel insurance say an act of war, force majeure, is not covered.
Mm.
This is absolutely clear if you're in a hotel which is in a war zone. It's not clear if you're in a hotel which is not in a war zone. So I think that, you know, the travel insurance, if they have flight disruption, the flight disruption is only a couple of euro more on the standard. Most standard policies don't cover flight disruption. But I do think there's a case for their flight disruption on their travel insurance to kick in.
Okay, so it would be prudent to check. We're booked to travel to Melbourne with Qatar Airways at the end of April to visit family. Will people be able to rebook with an alternative route with a partner airline or get a refund or voucher in full? And when should people make a change with the current problems? We have booked an economy ticket.
Okay, you could be, I don't know which airline they're with, but Emirates have a partnership with Qantas and Qatar have are in the One World Alliance. What will happen is that you could possibly, you know, rebook and then get the refund for the alternative airline that you've paid for. This has worked in situations where there have been French air traffic control strikes, things like that. I know some of the Irish airlines are a bit grumpy saying, well, we didn't rearrange the flight, but people have rebooked and charged the airline and got their money back. And that's where this gets a lot murkier, because we're in this act of war, force majeure ruling that the courts will call, and lawyers will have great feast day with this in time to come. But it is possible that an alternative airfare will be covered by the Middle East airlines, because they're so happy to not have to cope with the passenger, as long as that is not in the astronomical scale that we've seen since Saturday. What I've seen is 8,000 euro being quoted for an economy fare to Australia via an alternative route. They're the sort of fares that are out there at the moment. So if you see something reasonable, I would be very tempted myself if it was me.
Mm-hmm. The rates are absolutely nuts, aren't they? Someone says, I have a wedding in Australia and due to fly out on Saturday. This is a once in a lifetime trip for my parents, but they are terrified due to transfer via Dubai. If they cancel now, they lose everything, or can they get a refund?
March the 12th. You can cancel everything up to March the 12th and get full refund.
Okay, so that's this Saturday, they'll get that.
I would be surprised, and this is speculation again, and don't come back to me and say you got it wrong, because I'm just speculating. It's like predicting who's going to win a match. But yeah. I would speculate that would be pushed out unless the situation is solved. Not on the level we're seeing now with a corridor and a couple of flights getting through, but on a scale where the transfer passengers can land in Dubai and take off again. And to be quite honest, that's a big step from where we are now. At the moment, we're just coping with getting the people that need to be home, both outside of Dubai, back to Dubai, and people who are in Dubai home.
Okay. Let me get one or two more quick questions in with you, Owen, while I have you there. Had booked our honeymoon to Japan in early May, flying via UAE. Will things have calmed down, or should we contact travel agent and look at changing the stopover now?
I would look at the stopover now. You know, everybody's saying, oh, Donald Trump says this and Donald Trump says it'll be over in this time. And then he changes his mind. What has happened since Saturday is very different from Israel and Gaza. It's a destabilization of the entire region. There's another, you know, from a global perspective, these three airports have spent decades building up their goodwill and their reputation, getting people to trust them as a stopover. They're doing everything they can to defend that. But Iran knows that as well. You can create a lot of kerfuffle by disrupting the transport systems of the world that you wouldn't if you were just involved in a military-on-military war. So it's really a time to rethink all of your bookings through the summer. There is a travel insurance policy which is cancelled for no reason, but very few people take it because it's so expensive. It's about 50-60% more. But I do think that if you can, without a great expense, start looking at alternatives.
Because
this isn't going to go away quickly. And
okay,
that's speculative, by the way. It could all be solved by next week.
Yeah, and I think the biggest takeaway here is check with the travel insurance company and double check again, because they're all obviously different policies and different structures.
Straight into Dubai force majeure act of war, all of that will kick in. The travel insurance policy will say, well, did you read your terms and conditions? Nobody does, Anna. They take about 30 minutes to read. But if it's a transfer flight, there's a strong case that the flight disruption would kick in.
Sound advice, Owen. Thanks so much for getting through so many of those questions. You can feel the fear and the worry from our listeners today. That's Owen Corry, editor of Air and Travel magazine. Thanks very much to you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.